yourselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord, with a church that is in their house. Let's read verse 20 as well. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the challenges and the Lord, that it is the bread of life. And that, Father, it is not only the bread of life when it comes to salvation and the gospel, but, Father, it is that upon which we can feed and grow and to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray as we consider this subject, as we look at it in the context of revival, in the context of our church, that our hearts would be open, and that Father, we would focus our minds by your grace on this. And Lord, that we would strive to be as the house of Stephanus was. And where we would be a church that there is no mistaking that we are your disciples, because we demonstrate, we manifest love one to another. I ask for your help in preaching this morning and teaching. I pray that, Lord, in some small way that you would use me. And Father, if you choose in a mighty way, that you would speak to hearts. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So the book of 1 Corinthians is a difficult, I would imagine, had been a difficult letter for Paul to write. It's a book full of rebukes, full of chastening words. And rightfully so, the church at Corinth was a very carnal church, a church wholly given over to carnality in many ways. It was a church that had allowed gross immorality to take place in their midst, and not grieve over it, but rather celebrate it and to lift it up and to look at themselves and say, oh, how tolerant we are. It was a church in which there was great confusion, in which there was schisms and different pockets of people, and if you want to call them in a modern language, cliques of sort. It was a church full of the wrong headship. The men weren't leading, and ladies weren't following, and the church itself was not under the headship of Jesus Christ. And so we see a lot of things that were wrong with the church at Corinth. We come to the end of Paul's letter here in 1 Corinthians, and he spends some time in this book as well, talking about the need for us to give of ourselves, to give of our finances, to meet the need of other saints. We also are, I hope you're aware, but in chapter 13, Paul speaks of the greatest gift of all. Turn there if you would with me. He gets done speaking about these gifts, tongues, prophecy, and he says this. He says, okay, you have these things that God has provided for the church for this time. But if you look in chapter 12, verse number 31, he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a what? More excellent way. You know, there are many who take pride in the talents that God has given them. And there were many during the time of the Corinthians that had taken pride and were not exercising their gifts for the edification of the church, but rather for themselves to be puffed up. And Paul said there's a greater gift than all of these. There's a greater gift than prophecy. There's a greater gift than that of tongues and of healings. And I'm going to show it to you. And in chapter 13, he speaks of this idea of what? Charity. Of course, a love, a God-given love. Not a love that we possess as far as a brotherly, I give and then I'm given, but a love that surpasses that, a supernatural love, a love that comes from God and that is representative of the love that God has for us, a sacrificial love, a giving love, a love that places the needs of others before ourselves. And we've talked about this to some degree when I preached on how we need to have a revival of love. But there is a need within our church, and we need to come to an understanding of God's will for us as a church. We live in a selfish age, and it affects all of us. Selfishness. Self-centeredness. We are being taught, if you spend any time at all listening to the radio and the television and reading secular things, the philosophy that you matter most, that you are the most important, pervades everything, doesn't it? It's pervasive. In our schools, in our homes, we are teaching our children that what you feel and how you feel is most important. Your happiness is the key. But that's entirely against what the Bible teaches, isn't it? We come to the last part of 1 Corinthians. We look at chapter 16. And Paul is giving some final admonitions here. And we come across, I want to focus specifically on verse 15. We come across verse number 15, and he, sort of in a sub-note, and he makes them mindful, and it would appear that the church at Corinth already had some knowledge of this family, of this house of Stephanus. The Bible says they were the first fruits of Achaia. They were some of the first, this family, the first to come to know Jesus Christ and was a part of the beginning of that church. I find it interesting, and I find that there is certainly some edification and exhortation that we can gain from verse 15, in that Paul says of this family, Paul says of Stephanus and his house, that they had done what? That they had addicted themselves to the ministry. That word addicted is an interesting word. We often see it most of the time in a negative sense, don't we? We say someone's addicted to something, that's bad. Usually it's an illicit substance or alcohol or whatever, right? Gambling or pornography. I mean, it's often viewed as in a negative sense. But here it's used in the positive. In a lot of ways it matches when you see the word ordained or set apart. That gives the similar sense that this house had been ordained to the work of the ministry. But I think in this verse, and I think by God's inspiration, the word addicted here was used purposefully. My challenge to us this morning as a church and to us individually as believers is I want us to model ourselves after the house and the family of Stephanus. My goal as your pastor is to bring you from complacent, come once, twice a week, and plop yourself down on a seat, Christianity, to coming to that place where we are ministering to one another, we are ministering to other believers, and certainly we are ministering to the lost. If all your Christian life is about is religious works to pacify your conscience, you're missing out on a great blessing. We must go from where we simply go through the motions and we pacify our conscience by being to some degree religious, to saying, you know what, I want to possess the heart of Jesus Christ. I want to have Christ-like love that is demonstrable, that is demonstrated every day of my life. This family, Stephanus, addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. So I want to consider this idea of addicting yourself to this ministry and what it entails and the blessings that we can derive from it, especially since it's in obedience to the Word of God. So I want us to consider addictions this morning. First of all, we notice this house of Stephanus. It was not that they were chosen by God as much as they what? Look what it says in verse number 15. They have addicted themselves to the ministry. We are commanded by God to love one another. Go to John chapter 13, please. And And I preach this because I feel like we are missing this to some degree. There is growth that needs to take place in my life and in your life, in all of our lives, in this regard. Look what it says in John 13, let's start at verse number 31. Now this is directly precedes chapter 14, where Jesus speaks great words of comfort to the disciples. When He says, listen, I go to my Father's house, and in His house are many mansions. Right? He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, you're on the right track, disciples. Follow after me. Follow after me. Obey my words. Preceding that, He says this. In preparing these disciples for His departure, look at verse 31. Therefore, when He was gone out, Jesus said, speaking of Judas leaving them, He says to those that remain, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God be glorified in Him, God shall also glorify Him in Himself, and shall straightway glorify Him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, oh, Jesus says, I'm getting ready to leave. In a little while, you're not going to see me no more. And where I go, you cannot come. What? You're leaving us, Lord? In light of that, what does He say to them? A new commandment I give unto you. Oh, okay, Lord, well you're leaving us, so what do you want us to do? We want to hear, we want to know. What is your will? Well, here's the will of God. That ye what? Love one another. As I have loved you. That ye what? Listen up here. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have what? Love one to another. Think with me. Jesus says, I'm leaving. I have been the focus, and He still ought to be the focus of our church. He is the head. But as I leave, here's what I want you to do. Here is my will. I want you to love one another. And it's not that brotherly love. It's not just the, I love because there's an emotional attachment. This is the type of love in which you choose to love. And you make conscious choices to love. It goes beyond just that emotional reaction to saying, this is the will of God, and I'm going to love my brother. I'm going to love others. I preached again 3 or 4 weeks ago about how we need to have a revival of love. And you know what? If you love your brothers and sisters in the Lord and you manifest that, and the things that you do, you ain't going to need to have one of those silly bracelets declaring you're a Christian. You aren't going to need to have a little tiny fish on the back of your car. And if you do, I'm not criticizing you. I think the ex do. Right? I like because they have 2 big fishes and 4 little fishes. You know, amen? I'm not saying, but I think a lot of people, they think that is what identifies them as a Christian. There's no better way to determine who's a believer than to gauge their love for other believers and for others in general. If we go back to our text, if we have a proper view and understand God's will to be that we have and have made a conscious choice to put the needs of others before ourselves, to love them as Christ loved them. That's what Jesus said. Love one another as I have loved you. We'll find ourselves like the house of Stephanus, making a conscious choice to be ministers. Now, I appreciate. I don't want to seem too hard this morning. I recognize, as your pastor, I recognize that in a lot of ways, and things that often aren't seen, there is love being demonstrated one to another. And I appreciate that. I don't want it to seem like, you know, a lot of times when you hear preaching, you think, you know, there's things being missed. I don't miss that, and I'm sure there are things that I don't even see or I'm not even aware of in which you, as believers, are loving other believers. But I think we can do more. My goal this morning, and my challenge for us as a church this morning, is to go beyond what is comfortable, to go beyond what is convenient, and to be as the house of Stephanus was, addicted to ministering to saints. Making that choice to say, I will be a minister. I will be one who gives of myself to bless others. Now, this is hard. Why? Because we've often given ourselves to other things, haven't we? Other loves. And you can see this, and I'm not saying, I'll never say, that we should minister to the detriment of our families. That is the first realm in which you ought to minister. If you're not ministering, husbands, to your wife and to your children, spiritually and physically and emotionally, giving of yourself, listen, men, and it's hard to preach this because I find myself guilty. You don't have me time. That's hard to swallow, isn't it? You say, well, I need time to decompress, Pastor. I need my me time. It's His time, not you time. God will give you the rest. God will give you the strength if you'll give it to Him. As we consider this idea of addiction, the first thing I want to think about, as someone finds himself addicted, often in the negative, you can also see this in the positive. Addiction often has one goal, and that's to fulfill the needs of that addiction. Right? One focus. Someone who's addicted to a substance will find themselves with one goal, and that is pursuing the gain and the ingestion of that substance. Right? If we have love for one another, if we addict ourselves to the ministry of the saints, addict ourselves to seeing saints be made through the gospel, we're going to have one goal, and that is to minister. Now listen to me. Hey, listen. You youngins need to listen back there. This is important for you young people too. We need to have a focus that is coincides with the will of God. That I am going to be a minister. That I am going to give of myself. And that is my goal. I am going to wear myself out for the Lord. And there is no other focus but to serve Him in this way. But think of it this way. Isn't life but like an assembly line of sorts, especially when it comes to your family, or you have limited time to do what you need to do? Have you ever seen a factory? How many have ever been in a factory where they actually have an assembly line? To me, I find that amazing. For a while, I worked in a factory where they made turtle wax, of all things. And I was one of these temporary job situations when I was maybe 20 or 21 and needed extra work, so I applied, and they put me in this factory, and they made turtle wax. They would take the bottles, and they would, and a lot of it was automated, but they would take the bottles, and they would go down the assembly line, and then the spout or the filler would come and fill it up, and then another machine would take a cap and put it on, and our role was to sit there and to do quality assurance and to make sure that, wipe any trash off the bottle where maybe some excess wax had come out. And you only had a certain amount of time. You had to get it done. Life is a lot like that, isn't it? We live life at times as if we have all the time in the world. But rather, as the Word of God says in the book of Psalms, we need to pray, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What is our life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. As we minister, it ought to be our sole focus to say, I am going to bless. I am going to honor God by being someone who is a minister rather than being ministered to. And there's need to be ministered to. But having that one goal. So I ask you this morning, what goal do you have? What is your focus, Christian? In your home, what is the goal? I've been listening to some teaching on CD. I get a chance. Brother Steve was in the car with me listening to part of it. And the man was talking about men and their schedules, and he was talking about how that as men, and I failed at this, we need to have a vision for our families and even a statement of our vision. A goal. If we're going to addict ourselves to ministering and having a heart of love and charity for other saints and other believers and our own children and our wives and our spouses, we've got to be focused on that. We cannot let this world and our flesh change our focus. When you consider addiction, not only is there one goal, but you'll oftentimes find someone who has trouble with an addiction, and all of us, I think, to some degree have had, right, whether minor or major, you'll see them fighting for that addiction. They're not going to let go of it easily, right? That's their addiction. It's something that comforts or whatever benefit they perceive it brings to them, they fight for it. That's why it's so hard when you see someone going through a process of weaning themselves off, whether it be a substance or a pornography or gambling. What? It's difficult. And they fight for it. How easily are we swayed when we are to love one another and we are to minister to one another? We ought to fight against our flesh and against the distractions of this world that would keep us from ministering to our families and in our church. Can I say this? And I say this with all care. In some way, in some fashion, you should be ministering in the context of this New Testament church. Are you? Especially if you're a member, if you're part of this body, you ought to be ministering. And I recognize not everybody's going to be a street preacher. Not everybody's going to be a leader of a nursing home. Not everybody's going to be whatever it is, a teacher in the children's class. But there needs to be a place and a time where you are ministering. It's important to you. Oftentimes, an addict not only will fight for that addiction and that is their sole purpose and goal, but you often pay dearly for an addiction, don't you? All the things we sacrifice, the things people, and even ourselves at times, have sacrificed to have our sin, to have our addiction, to something that we're, right? In the same way, we ought to see how important it is to minister to one another, to bless one another, and it ought to be something that we are willing to sacrifice for. Listen now. Young people listening? Are you listening, Michael? You claim the name of Jesus Christ. You ought to have a heart to serve other people. But I think at times, Andrew, isn't the opposite true? It's all about serving me, isn't it? Now, a lot of us will be willing to serve others, except when it comes to that place where we have to sacrifice, really give of ourselves. When the rubber meets the road, so to speak, right? Oh, how difficult that is to say, I've got to give of my time, I've got to give of my finances, I've got to give of my talents to be a blessing. We ought to be willing to give as Christ gave for us. When Jesus said in John 13:34, He says, what? Love one another as I have loved you. Can you honestly say this morning that you've gone above and beyond to even sacrifice so that you might minister to your family, so that you might minister in the context of this church, so that you might minister to other Christian brothers and sisters? when we consider the ministry we have to the lost and the obligation we have to the lost, what's the last time you sacrificed time and money to reach the lost for Jesus Christ? Truth of it is, I can't see most of you even going out for an hour once a week. And if we let's be real honest, I would say, and I'm just, and if you're not, I'm not being mean. Let's just be real honest. Many of us rarely, if ever, open our mouths to give a testimony and a witness for Jesus Christ. Why? Because it would inconvenience us. It would embarrass us. It's a heart problem, brothers and sisters. And it all boils down to, I don't really love the saints. I don't really love the lost. Not as Christ did. I love myself. I've addicted myself to ministering to me, to blessing me, and life is all about me. It's interesting. Number four, I found those that are focused and addicted to ministering to others and addicted to ministering to the lost. You know what they try to do? They try to push it on others. And so does an addict in a negative sense, don't they? Misery loves company, as they say. But, you know, it ought to be where you're reaching out to other believers and you're trying to involve them and encourage them to minister. That's what I'm doing this morning. I want to try to push this on you. And I'll tell you, there's times where my heart is not right, where my heart says, I don't want a ministry. I don't want to go do that. I'll tell you, Friday night, I wanted to stay home. I was tired. I worked all week. I didn't want to go minister to a bunch of heathens. Didn't want to listen to me anyway. Thank God I went. By His grace, I went. He knows my heart. He knows how fleshly I am. There are times I don't want to come here on Sunday mornings and preach to you. I'll be real honest. Come on. There's a lot of mornings you don't want to come here and listen. Truth be told. But rather, what we ought to do is once we gain and we possess this heart of ministry where we want to pour ourselves out for others, you know what we'll find ourselves doing? Involving others in that ministry. Come with me. Let's minister together. Let's bless one another together. An addict, really, it does, truthfully, take an act of God to get one off and to deliver one from an addiction in a negative sense, but in a positive sense, it really ought to take an act of God to get you stop ministering. This was a family. This was a house entirely given over by choice to being a blessing and ministering to others. I want to be real honest. It is not. I cannot do it myself. Do you realize we have this priesthood of the believer? We stand before God as priests. And we love that, don't we? Man, what a standing we have. But do you realize what was the role of the priest? It was to minister on the behalf of the people. Right? It was to stand in the gap. It was to provide and to offer and be that. Take that role of offering sacrifices for sin and burnt offerings and all these different things. We rejoice in what God has done for us. But my friends, we are empty. We are missing out on what God has and His best for us. Your role is not just, and your standing is not, and you are. We are all priests before God. And if you question that, read the book of Hebrews. Understand this priesthood of the believer. I talk about it later. What's that? And Peter. Yeah, exactly. And the truth of it is not only do we have this standing before God, but now we have an obligation to serve. Are you serving this morning? Young and old. We've got some older saints in here. What are you doing to serve? We've got some young people. I appreciate all the young people we have in our church. I love it.
Pastor loves you. I pray for you. Young people, what are you doing to serve? Mom and dad, what are you doing to teach your children to serve others, to minister? My wife and I had a discussion a couple weeks back, and after I preached that message on the revival of love, I see how in our family we lack this. Now listen. What you do in moderation, oftentimes your children do in excess. And if you're half-hearted about your Christian walk, you're half-hearted about being a blessing to others, you're half-hearted about loving others and giving of yourselves to others, your children won't even care if they're even in church at all. Or they'll be second, third generation Christians who just float along, join themselves in some weak, compromising church, quote unquote, and do nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want that for my kids. In fact, I want my kids to be more on fire for God than I am. But boy, it's going to take an act of God. I want them to love God more than I could love them. I want them, because I know that is what is best for them. Now listen. Again, I feel like words escape me, and I feel like for some of you, I'm going, you've blocked me out. Some of you have. You've turned me off. You're missing out. Our church ought to be known about our church that is a group of Christians. Why? Because they have signs in the front window. Because they carry the King James Bible. No, because they love one another, and it's apparent to our families and to our neighborhoods that, you know what? There's a group of Christians who exemplify the love of God, the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they manifest it to one another and to the lost. And there's nothing. Nothing that can keep them from that. Because it is the will of God, and they know it honors and pleases God. Here's my challenge. In what way are you ministering today? Are you listening to me? Stay with me. Young or old, mom or dad, you say, Pastor, I'm busy. Join the club. A lot of times we're too busy. Do you realize, when we say we're busy, do you realize the average American watches 4.5 hours of TV a day? 4.5 hours! And that is on top of the 5.5 hours they spend looking at other screens, whether it be a computer or their phone. And we're too busy? I would dare say we at times fall into that, don't we? Oh, I'm busy. No, you're not. You're busy about doing what you want to do rather than being about the Father's business. My challenge, my encouragement to us as a church, and my heart for you as your pastor, is that we would be a church full of ministers. That we'd be teaching our children to minister. That we'd be looking for opportunities to minister. I have to say, it is a rare occasion in which someone comes to me and says, Pastor, I am looking for a way in which to minister. Do you know of any? Rather, as your pastor, at times I feel like I'm pulling teeth. Come on, I need someone to help. And everybody's, it's like at home. My wife would say, okay, I need someone to wash the dishes. Didn't we have 5 kids at one time? It can be that way in our midst, in our church, in our assembly. I need people to faithfully go out and do outreach. I need someone to really minister in the nursing home. I need someone to help in the children's class. It ought to be, man. It ought to be where we were like the Israelites of old. Remember? When they were to bring things to the temple and they were ministering and repairing the temple, it got to the place where Moses had to say, stop! It's too much. And And I don't want to come across like I'm being unkind. Like I said, there are many ways in which I see ministering taking place, but we can go beyond that. We can do more for God. And I would dare say that if we were honest with ourselves, are we truly addicted to the ministry? Is it something that just is part of our soul and our heart to say, man, and we're always looking for ways to bless? It begins in our homes. Dads, if you're not regularly feeding your family spiritually, you are sinning against them. Throw the TV out. Listen. You are sinning against your family. And you are teaching them what is important. If all they see is dad comes home, pops down on the chair, and watches the beast for 2-3 hours a night, plays some dumb video game for 2-3 hours a night, plays on his computer for 2-3 hours a night, then you are failing your family. You say, that's strong, Pastor. It is strong, but it's necessary. Your family, it's like an assembly line. You start when they're one, and man, that thing just... I'm amazed that Andrew's going to be 11 this next week. Right? Thursday? Your birthday is the 17th, right? He's going to be 11. In 7 years or so, more than likely, he'll be doing whatever the Lord has called him to do. I have 7 years. You say, oh, that's plenty of time. Oh, how quickly life goes. He has to be ready and prepared to serve God in 7 years, even before that. Husband, your wife needs you to be that spiritual leader. You need to pour yourself out. You need to start in your homes. Addict yourself to ministering to your family. Pour of yourself. Give of yourself. You say, I don't have any kids. Give of yourself to one another. Children, listen to Pastor. Look up here. Listen. Listen, Cassie. You need to say, you know what? I'm going to be one who ministers. And there's no better place, Michael, to start that ginger. Ginger, are you listening to Pastor? But in your home. I'm going to bless my mom. That's what Michael says. I'm going to encourage my mom. I'm going to minister to her. She works hard, doesn't she? And so guess what? Instead of going out and goofing around with my friends and being gone all day, I'm going to be home blessing my mom. And yes, I'll take time with my friends. But you know what? My first priority is to bless my mom. Because not only is she my mom, she's a sister in the Lord. That's an interesting way to look at it, isn't it? And God has given me a responsibility to her because I love her. Do you love your mom? I love her as God loves her. William, are you listening to me, Emma? Your mom is busy, isn't she? She's got that new baby. Things are busy. You know what you ought to be doing instead of watching some silly cartoon and playing with your toys? You ought to be looking and saying, how can I be a blessing to my mom? You say, well, Pastor, I'm only 4 years old. Can you be a blessing to your mom? You can, can't you? Moms and dads, you know the best way for your children to get that heart is for them to see you do it. Mamas, you say, oh, by the end of the day, Pastor, my hair is about torn out. I'm ministering, but I don't like it. And you wonder why your kids have the same spirit and the same attitude. You say, oh, you don't understand how difficult it is. I probably don't. You're right. But you need God's grace to be an example and a testimony to your children and to your family and to your husband of a woman after God's own heart that says, I'm giving myself with the right attitude. You mamas, it's amazing to me how God has wired you. Amen? To do things and to be in such a way, I tell you, but it has to go along with the right attitude, doesn't it? I wish I could just adopt them all out. But rather saying, I'm going to love my children. I'm going to have a Christ-like attitude with them as I minister to my husband, as I minister to my children. It's not going to be a drudgery. You know, sit there grunchy, washing the dishes and doing the laundry and hooting and hollering. But rather, I'm going to bless. And as we do that in our homes, and we can see that take place in our church. Let's go from being simply ministered to being ministers. Let us addict ourselves to that. Let's pray together. Amen. Father, I pray and I ask for your help as we consider the subject matter this morning of this house of Stephanus, how they by choice and determined to addict themselves and ordain and set apart themselves to ministering to other saints. And Lord, what an opportunity we have to manifest and to demonstrate your love to others. And what joy we can receive in return. What a blessing it is, Father, when we give of ourselves entirely and wholly and unselfishly to others. I pray in our homes, Lord, that we would see that spirit of servanthood, of love, demonstrated. Lord, that our fathers, including myself, that we would feed and minister to our families spiritually and emotionally and physically, Lord, and we would not give in to the lie of the world that says we need all this time to ourselves. Father, it is not our time, it is your time, and let us use it according to your will. I pray you'd help our mamas, our wives, our mothers in here, that you would give them the attitude, a Christ-like attitude as they serve their families, a joyful spirit, a spirit of contentment. Be with our children, Father, our young people, whether young or old, our young ones that are going to be teenagers here very shortly, and our little ones that are growing up and are understanding. Lord, I pray that as they desire, that you would give them that desire, that heart to serve one another, and Lord, that it would bring joy, pleasure to that home. And it would be a home that, Father, loves you. I pray for our church. Lord, there's so much to do. And Father, you could return at any moment. I pray you would instill in the hearts of those here, Father, a burden to minister, to encourage, to disciple. That, Father, you would place in the hearts of some of our older Christians here and say, you know what, I'm going to give of myself until there's no more to give. And, Lord, I want to disciple, I want to bless some of these younger Christians. Lord, by your grace, may we make the proper and right choice. Addicting ourselves, or the house of Stephanus did, addicting ourselves to the ministry of the saints. I pray you'd use us that way. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Amen. Well, I hope the lesson this morning was a help to you and consider some of the things. Anything before we go today? All right. Well, let's be dismissed, and we'll see you tonight. Lord willing, 6 o'clock for services this evening.